Is that a reference to Bill O'Reilly?
I think it is. Survivor Specialist. Bill and Alexa are back, and we are joined by Chris Hammonds tonight from Survivors Millennials vs. Gen X. This is Chris's second time coming on. We're always happy to have Chris. And Chris is going to come out here. He's going to come in for the Survivor team that has 62 points, tied with Alexa, also with 62, trailing me with 65. And really, Chris, I just want you to know, Sunday and Brett both did okay when they came on here. It was Adam who did terrible, so it won't be too hard to have a better showing than him. But Brett and Sunday did pretty well, so
yeah, just a warning. I understand Sunday doing well. It's a shocker that Brett did okay. He probably flipped a coin on every one of them.
Well, he had the easy one. He had the Bradley boot, so that was a simple one. You know, it was like he was down towards the bottom for almost everybody.
Right.
So we're gonna do our power rankings for episode 9 coming up here. Chris, what are you thinking about this season so far?
You know, I actually like this season, but I'm kind of, you know, I'm just at heart, I'm just a Survivor fan. So every season I think, oh, I'm not gonna like it, but I've enjoyed this one. I thought it was really good. I thought the last two were really good. So, but there's some really good characters on this season. I'm enjoying it.
So we want to hear, obviously, because we had Joe Mena on last week, and he is
he was great.
He's the biggest Chris fan of all time. What was your take on previous Chris on
Chris Noble?
Secondary Chris
Noble. Yes, I don't know what to call him here.
Yeah, no.
Chris Noble.
He was, as Joe said, he was TV gold. I mean, the guy, every time he opened his mouth, was just saying something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you thought, well, do I want to cheer for him or not? You know, I found myself cheering for him sometimes, and then sometimes thinking, oh, my God, I'd hate to be on the island with that dude. But
chance to watch his video?
Yeah, the video is hilarious. And, you know, you think it's kind of like a joke, but maybe it's not. He's probably like dead serious too, you know, in a weird way. But I think that the guy's got, I mean, he's got some personality, that's for sure, man. And he knows he's good looking. And I mean, what can he say, man? There's no way I could do a video like that. So I'm kind of jealous.
Well, it was funny because when we heard about the video, we were actually podcasting live after last week's episode, and people were like, you got to see this video. And when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is funny. Like, this is like, you know, this is ridiculous, and Chris knows it. And then, like, when I was watching his Ponderosa, it was like he was actually taking it very, very seriously.
He was very into it.
Even better.
I can tell you he was very into it because, you know, that was done very well. Like, they put some time into that, and those guys, they're really good at doing that at Ponderosa. So he had to have been really serious about it to put in the time and effort to make that video.
Well, they were really in crunch time because there's only, what, like three or somebody else came. And I read that he just wrote the entire, all the lyrics, I can't believe I'm saying that, in 2 hours. And they just what it.
Yeah, no, you have to give it up. I give it up to him. I mean, it was creative and it was hilarious. And obviously, like, a lot of people watched it. So I guess it did its job.
Yeah. It's hilarious. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Oh, it did its job.
It definitely did its job. Like I said, I watched it once. Then I was watching the Ponderosa video and I got to it the second time and I was like, you know what? This is for another time. I don't need to watch it a second time right now. So.
Yeah. 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 Once is enough, probably.
Yeah. Definitely. It's an experience.
One view out of me. So.
Yeah. But
it's an emotional experience.
I don't need to memorize the lyrics moving forward. That's for sure.
Right.
really difficult stuff.
Yeah. So, Alexa. Or I'm sorry, Chris, what are you thinking about Ghost Island, though, as a whole? Like, the actual island, because that's been probably the most controversial part of the season so far, is, you know, or the most divisive.
Yeah, you know, I like the idea of bringing back and talking about the past idol play and the past, the ghost of the Survivor past. I've enjoyed it. I do think that, you know, the whole, like, it's been odd, like the drawing of rocks to go to Ghost Island. I just think that there should have been more strategy involved there. Everybody's kind of just copping out and drawing rocks, I think. But I think it's fun. I like it. It's a little, I don't know. Some people may not like it. You know, it's kind of one of these either here or there for me. But I think it was a something new, and why not do it? You know, Survivor is always trying to change up.
Yeah, and I know Sunday, when Sunday was on, I still think she had the best idea of actually giving them stuff to do every time, but it seems like now in this later part of the game, at least what we saw with Chris, they're really going to amp it up. I mean, you had him going on a boat.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
The middle of the night thing was actually kind of cool, and I was envious of that. That would have been like a really cool way to go out there. But then you get there, and I didn't understand, the whole, like, at first I was like, I was confused by what Chris had to do, drawing the rocks. Then I got, or drawing, you know, going forward. Then I understood it, but then I had no idea why Chris didn't play his idol.
Yeah.
That was the most bizarre move of, I didn't get it. I mean, if you know, the edit tricks you too. You don't know what really went on out there, but it seemingly was either Dom going home or Chris. Mm-hmm. And when Dom plays his advantage, why don't you pull your idol out and play it at that point? You got to think, well, hell, it's all me.
And the most insanity is he didn't even have a vote. So, like, what is he – like, he can't even back it up himself.
I didn't get it, man. I was like, oh, surely he's just going to play his idol, and Chris is going to – and the Dom are going to be fighting over the next week. And I was disappointed when he didn't play his idol. I was like, well, there goes Chris.
I think he trusted that 11-person alliance a little too much.
Yeah, that was – well, it just goes back to, I think Chris just – he has a lot of belief in himself and what he's saying. So, and me too. I mean, I was a victim of that too, man. I should have seen the writing on the wall and made some different moves when I got blindsided. But, you know, that's nature of the beast.
Well, so Chris is gone, unfortunately. So you don't get to rank Chris in your power rankings, unfortunately, here. That's a real bummer.
Well, that is a bummer for me. I don't know where I would have put him.
Big loss of the week.
Where did let's see here. Where did let's find out where we actually had him last week. So
I had him in the middle.
Yeah, I had him in 10.
Yeah, y'all had him like 7 or 8, didn't you, or something like that?
Alexa had him 7, and then Joe had him 9. So Alexa took the biggest hit on Chris going home, but none of us had him even in our bottom 3, which is really crazy. We were that confident. Chris isn't going home, and there he goes. I mean, it should have been like obvious for all of us, but.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. It's when I was going through this, it's harder than you think, you know, ranking them from, you know, one being, you know, no chance of going home, and 12 going home. It's hard because you're really doing this based off of this. And I would put that out as a caveat to all the players, if they listen, that are on the show. We're basing this off your edit. Like, you may be a good person.
Always
and stuff.
Big disclaimer.
It is a big disclaimer because, you know, like, Sunday got a terrible edit, and she made it to day 35 and didn't deserve that edit. But it was the edit. And if you were just didn't know Sunday and were watching it, you're like, oh, she just got drug along. You know, it's that kind of thing that you never know what's going on out there, really. So if I insult anybody, sorry, I'm basing it off of your edit.
All right. So give us some like really, really hot takes on this now.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, as long as you don't have to look anybody up, because I know for Brett and for Joe and Troy Zan had to have the cast in front of him at all times, or he wouldn't have remembered it. But everybody's had to like look up who was still who, like a couple of the people were on the season because they didn't know the names. So, you know,
I think. Well, I'm at least a little better prepared than that.
There you go. So, all right. Well, let's jump into it, Alexa. I think I've let off all of them. So why don't you lead it off this time? I think I know who you put at number one. So I might as well let you go first, so we can all just have the same number one.
Who do you think I have for number one?
I think you have Wendell.
I have Michael at number one, so jokes on all of you.
Wow. Okay.
Wendell is pretty darn close, but I have Michael at number one because, one, he is an idol, but two, all of a sudden, nobody's talking about him. This whole, I mean, all last week was about Dominic versus Chris, which was going to happen no matter how threatening or non-threatening Michael was, but suddenly he has just disappeared behind Kellen and Dez, and it's been done so effortlessly. And I think he's pretty tight with Callan and Dez, and I don't really know how he's going to connect back with his other Malolos like Laurel and Donathan and Libby. But I think Michael's in the best position in this game, and it's not really because of his idol. It's because he's just kind of somehow disappeared really easily.
I have Michael a little bit lower. I have him further down than the other people with idols. I have Wendell at one. I thought you were going to do it too. I did it last week. My rankings almost look almost identical to last week's, or they're very similar. I put Wendell at one because you say Michael's hidden behind people. Wendell always is going to have Dom in front of him. And now people might be a little bit more confident that Dom is no longer safe because he played the legacy advantage. And I don't think anybody's buying that that necklace is an idol. So they're probably sitting there saying, oh, well, like he doesn't actually have an idol anymore. He just used it. And so if that's the case, they're going to try to get rid of him. And if they split the votes, I think Wendell's going to know it's coming. I think he knew last week it was Chris. Like, I think Chris had irked everybody so much that it was blatant to everybody but Chris that Chris was going home. But I think Wendell's in the best spot because he has Dominic as his shield. And if he gets to the end with Dominic, I think people give Wendell the money before they give Dominic the money in the long run.
Yeah. I have a different thought process. I have number one, I have Donovan. I don't think that he has any chance of going home today or this next show. He's just kind of a number at this point. He's a guy that I would take to the end with me. I don't think he can elaborate on anything that would make him. Yeah, he's kind of likable, but he's going to be a guy that is going to be perceived, at least by his edit, as not really doing anything except sitting around and kind of smiling and saying stuff that you may or may not understand. So I don't think he has any chance. He's pretty much flying under the radar, and he's going to be a guy, I think, that gets drug along pretty far. So I think there's zero chance he goes home. That's why I've got him one.
We have a very different view with him.
Yeah, I have him a little bit lower. It's weird with Donathan, though, just because he was so big early, and then he kind of has petered out a little bit. He wasn't really in the merge episode all that much, and I feel like you're going to want to milk as much screen time out of Donathan as you can. So I don't see him going anytime soon. I mean, look at somebody like Ryan last year. He had a couple episodes in there where he wasn't really getting too much screen time because he was going to the final three. They're going to be able to get as much out of him as they needed by the time he got there. So I think that's what's going to end up happening with Donathan here. Because if he were to go home this week, I would be like, wow, they really just like cut that storyline really short after making him the hero of episode one.
Yeah. Yeah. And just why would he go? Why would anybody even target him at this point? You know, doesn't make any.
Yeah. We have Dom with his shell. So.
Right.
which I have Dominic at number two with that shell, because we know he has a real idol. And I think that people might actually let their guard down a little bit if they do want to get rid of Dominic. And by letting their guard down, they won't be able to blindside him as hard. And then he ends up playing his actual idol that nobody actually expects to be there. I also think that he's made pretty good relationships with people. I know that like it's been him versus Chris, but I do think that like Donathan ran right up to him and said, this is what we want to do. We can get rid of him right now. Donathan ran to him. He didn't have to go to Donathan. And I think that's a huge, huge point there in Dom's favor. So when I look at Dominic, I think he's got connections with a lot of people. I know he's always throwing Libby under the bus, but it actually seems like he could work with Libby. He could work with Jenna and Sebastian. He could work. He's obviously very close with Wendell. He can see, it seems like Donathan's coming to him, and that means Laurel. And there's a lot of people on this Dominic side right now. So I don't necessarily think they're going to go for him here. And I think because of the whole Chris thing, it might have actually made him look a little more appealing to bring to a final three, because they're like, this is a guy who, like, you know, he gets so focused, we can actually make a pretty easy argument against why he shouldn't win the game. So whoever wants to go number two after that.
Well, I've got number two. I've got Laurel number two. I think that Laurel's like playing a really good, like kind of under the radar. She's got a lot of connections. It doesn't seem like anybody has anything against her. And she's super smart, but she's playing it really cool. She's not sticking her neck way too far out on anything. And I think like kind of like Dom, people are coming to her. And she does have the relationship with Dominic. So I've got her at number two. I just don't think anybody is seeing the threat that she actually is at this point, which is kudos to her. So for different reasons than Donovan, I've got Laurel because she's number two, because she's playing a really good under the radar game, and she really has a chance to go far, I think.
Well, let me ask.
She's in a fantastic position.
Yeah, she's in a great spot, Chris. When you're watching this right now, who are you thinking? Who are you looking at as the winner of the season?
You know, I would love for it to be Dominic or Wendell. I think they're playing the best games. I think Dominic's playing a really, really good game. But man, he's going to, at some point, somebody's got to go after him. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't do his idol play right or find another one, I don't know that he's going to make it all the way to the end. But because he's going to be a big, huge target. And I've been there. I felt like I was going, and yeah, I mean, they come get you eventually. So I think a Dominic and a Wendell, you know, both of them have to have their head on a swivel the whole game. It's they're just never not in danger. Somebody's going to finally say their name and see if they can turn it. But so those are the two I'd like to see win. But man, it's very rare that the two that you favor make it to the end. So
your season's like a prime example of that, where you get into that final six, and almost everybody's rooting for David. He goes out four, and a lot of people are rooting for Jay, and he goes out six. So there you go.
Yeah.
So it happens all the time. I mean,
well, it's I say it all the time. Survivor is like when you're in the woods running from a bear. You don't have to be the fastest guy. You just got to be faster than the guy next to you. Mm-hmm. Survivor's the same thing. You just got to be sitting next to some people who no one's going to give a vote to.
Yeah. I like that.
You don't have to be the best player, and not very often they are, but all you got to do is get to the end with people no one's going to vote for, and there you go.
There you go. Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of people still left out here. They might not necessarily be goats, but I think that there's a lot of people left in this cast that aren't going to win. They wouldn't get any votes, really, if they sit down at the end.
I think there's a bunch of them, yeah.
I just wonder if people are going to keep them around, because I guess Chris was just so polarizing that they couldn't sit there and listen to him anymore. It was just like, oh, my God, he's going to stir up too much stuff. And really, I don't even think he wanted to stir it up. I think he really did want an alliance. I think he wanted a buddy out there. I think that's all he wanted.
Chris probably thought he – those people were his buddies. I mean, I think that's how far out in La La Land he was sometimes. Is I think that he really believed whatever he said, he believed the other people believed him.
Yeah.
In his exit interviews, he talks a lot about Angela, Sebastian, even Wendell a little bit too, because Angela and Sebastian, we kind of saw being in an alliance with him. And Sebastian, I believe, voted for him, and Angela ended up voting for Libby. But she actually told Chris not to play the idol. Chris told her that he had an idol, and she said, don't play it. So she either could have been doing that so that he'd go out, or was doing that because she had this ulterior motive with the Libby vote. But she was, in some way, shape, or form, involved with him not playing that idol, which I found to be very telling.
Yeah.
I mean, I also think that with her, though, I mean, I don't think she knew where the vote was actually going at all. I mean, so her telling Chris don't play it, I don't think she had any idea.
Yeah, I don't think. We're talking about Angela.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Angela. I mean, and again, from her edit, I don't think Angela has a clue what anything's happening on there. I think she's just super paranoid and kind of annoying and just running around and really doesn't know what's happening, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alexa, who you got it to?
Number two, I go Wendell, so he wasn't too far off from where you assumed, Phil. He has an idol. Why I'm a little wary about him is because, I mean, Laurel in one sentence alludes to her and Dom being his power, or him and Dom being his power couple. I think Wendell can't really hide anymore. Yes, he has this big shield in Dominic, but Chris, I think you're right. If Dominic gets to the end, that's huge kudos to him, because he's had this massive target on his back since he started. But I feel like people are really just going to start gunning for him all the time, because he's playing a really hard game and he's really likable. And I think Wendell is equally, if not more likable than Dominic, but not playing as aggressive of a game. So if people are going for Dominic, they might just try to hit Wendell to weaken him a little bit. But with that, I think Wendell's really smart. I think Wendell's really close with everyone. We've shown him having these personal moments with people, like with Kim giving Sebastian that shell back. I really think they showed us that for a reason. He's just really, really, I think he's really charismatic, and I think people are really liking him. You know, he's not the best person at challenges. He's not the most friendly person on the island. He's not the best at anything, and I think that's why he's in a really good spot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on Wendell. I just always, anybody that's a good player, I can't put them that far safe, because, and I think they're safe this week, but there's going to be a time where it's either going to be Dominic or Wendell going after each other. There's going to be a line drawn. I would guess eventually that, you know.
I thought there was an interesting scene in the episode last week though, where Wendell almost looks like he was about to tell Dom that he had an idol, and then Dom instead said he had an idol. So I think what Wendell has the upper hand on here is that I don't think Dom knows he has the idol, right? I don't think he knows.
I don't think he
does. So if it comes down to Wendell versus Dom, I think Wendell's got a huge upper hand because nobody knows that Wendell's sitting there with that idol.
Well, it seems that he tells Laurel this week, though, which she could then go and use that barter.
Yeah, that's a bold move there.
How is she doing that?
Laurel's so good. She's great.
Yeah, that's why I think she's playing so good. People are trusting her to tell them about her idols and stuff. And, you know, that's powerful information.
Yeah. No, it's
you know, and you know, last week I started having, I thought all the ladies could have got together last week and really done some damage.
I thought that was going to happen.
Yeah, and it still can. I mean, that's some of these ladies that I have kind of going out maybe this week, they could all pull together and they could start crushing some people if they got their game together.
Yeah, I mean, there's 7 women and 5 men left in the game at this point. And I agree. I mean, if you look at that, if you look at the Navidi women, it's the Kellen, Desiree, Chelsea, Angela group. Now, Angela might feel betrayed after last week because she was really left in the dark on that. And because they showed 2 votes for Libby, she might be thinking that was Chris and that was her.
Yeah.
You know, so that's probably what's going through her head. So I think that, like, Angela might just feel slighted. But then again, the first time I thought she'd feel slighted, she ended up voting out James for really no reason. So I really don't know what's going on, what Angela's thinking out there. But I do think that the women, if they wanted to team up, they absolutely could. And they could use Sebastian as their one guy.
I was fixing to say, Sebastian might as well be right in there with
him. Might as well be hanging. He's got that hair length.
There you go.
I think he would fall for that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What's so crazy is, I mean, Phil, you just said there's 7 women left, and I actually had to look at my list because I didn't believe you. And this goes back to this, like, Chris, what you're just saying about these edits. I only know Kellen, and I know about Libby because she's Parvati 5.0, and Laurel I like. And that's it. We really, really don't know anything about them. And it's, at this point, there's 12 people left. I feel like they've done a poor job of editing the women, and that could be a result. That's probably a result of they're not making the kind of moves that, like, Michael or Dominic are. But it is really weird that there's this whole, like, oh, Navidi Girls Alliance that we really don't know anything about.
Right. No, I agree. I don't understand. That's what gives me pause on some of the female players, is that they're getting such bad edits. They're bound to be going out
at some point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there might be one or two squeak into the top 5 or 6, but that's just because they got drugged there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll say at my number 3, I put all people with idols as the top 3. So I put Michael at 3. I figure he's got the idol. And they were saying last week, you don't ever need an excuse to get rid of Michael. Well, because you don't ever need an excuse to get rid of Michael, I think that he'll always know that he's going to have a target on his back. And if anything feels fishy, I think he knows to play his idol. So I think that Michael doesn't go home till that idol's gone. He's going to have to get voted out of the game twice, essentially, before he goes. He's likable. And he's somebody, I gave him no credit pregame, but he is somebody that I would love to see win this season. I think he would be a really, really great winner. He's got a great story, just that underdog story right from the start, 18 years old. And, like, He's playing a really good game. I mean, he hit the merge and found a way to go from being a huge target to really not at all. I mean, his name didn't come up except for them to say, well, we can get rid of him whenever. Libby was the one who they were going to go for. And Michael's with an idol. That would have been a perfect time to actually get rid of him, because it almost was like he was never going to see it coming then. But I think that now, moving forward, now that Chris is gone, and if they start making it a theme to get rid of these big guys, Michael's going to see it coming, because I think he's watched enough of the show to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I've got 3. I've got Sebastian, and it's kind of for the same reasons we were talking about, is I think he's kind of almost – he hasn't shown to be a threat of any kind of anything, really. Mm-hmm. And he's really got this two-way street. If the women get together, he can go either side. I mean, he can kind of name his game there. And also he's just someone that I think that people could go deep into the game with, because based on his edit, I don't think there's any chance he would get a vote at the end. Yeah. He's kind of just been a linger, just kind of whatever, what do you guys want to do? He's not made any giant moves or really hung himself out there at all. So I don't think there's any chance he's going to catch any votes this round.
Yeah.
So that's why I got him. That's why
I actually have Sebastian at number three also.
Great minds.
Kind of for the same reason.
There you go.
There you go.
I have him so much further down only because he's muscular. But go ahead.
I just think it's like Chris said, there's no reason to get rid of him. This is a season full of super fans. And I feel like it's mostly super fans. Actually, it's probably like kind of half and half now, or at least from what we're shown. But I feel like all these big guns are going to try to go for each other. And no one's going to. No, I can't imagine Dominic saying, like, do you know who needs to go? Sebastian. He's just really getting in my way. Like, that's just not a conversation that I envision happening anytime soon. And then I'll go down to my number four. I have Dominic at number four. I think he's fine. The only hang up I have is it could have the opposite of the Morgan effect. I think when Morgan went home, he was so blindsided, and ever since then has been very, very hyper aware of what's going on. What I fear is that now that the big bad Chris is gone, he might get not cocky, that's the wrong word, but he almost might lose his direction and just feel like he's in a safe position now that Chris is gone and someone could stab him right then.
Yeah, my whole thing is, do we think Dominic is the type of person who is not going to realize it's coming, or he is, like you said, so hyper aware right now? And I think we've seen people who've played the same type of game as Dominic kind of hit that point where they're like, oh, I'm fine. I got this in the bag. I mean, Joe is even a good example of that. Not that Joe could have really done anything to save himself, but he was like sold that he was like safe when he went home. Mm-hmm. He let his guard down. Is Dominic that type of player? Or is Dominic the kind of guy who's just like always sitting there like, they're coming for me, they're coming for me, almost to an extreme paranoia sense where does Chris going home open his eyes, or does Chris going home make him relax? And I think he's the type who he keeps on going, and he's like, well, they got rid of the big guy, now they get rid of me whenever they wanted to. So I don't know. With Dominic, it's rough. Chris, I don't know. Do you have him at four, or do you want to go with your four? Do you have Dominic?
I've got Michael at four. And for a lot of those same reasons, I think he's a guy I would like to see him go to the final three. I would like it. He's going to have a tough road. And if he gets there, he should win, like hands down. Because he's going to have the hardest road here out of what we call the big guns, the Dominic Wendels. But, man, I think he's played maybe the best game, considering he's been to Tribal like a billion times. And as young as he is, the way he's playing, I mean, really, really fantastic play, I think. And he has to be eventually a threat for individual immunity at some point. He's athletic. He's big. You know, hopefully there's something that will allow him to grab one of those, snatch one of those up here and there. Mm-hmm. But that's why I've got him four, because he does have an idol. And I do think that there's going to be just more attention on some of these this week on some of the, kind of the people with no story, really. You know.
So you said for somebody his age, like, he's playing really well. Are you trying to say 18-year-olds don't play well? Not to put you on the spot here, Chris, but you might have played with one. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, you know, I can tell you when I was 18, there's no chance I would have been mature enough to go out here and deal with this. I would have just been like,
good answer.
I'll just fight you right now, you know, or whatever. So Will was very mature, like super mature. Like I couldn't have functioned out there at 18. Not that the starving and all that, just the social aspect of it would have been mind boggling. I think I'd have lost my mind out there at 18. Mm-hmm. So, but for him to be playing ahead of the game like this, I think is impressive at his age.
I still can't believe what I was most worried about is that he would say, I'm 23 years old. And then as soon as he got into a conversation, people would be like, this kid can't be 23, or, oh my God, like, he just seems more immature. It seems like not only did everybody buy that he was 23, it seems like now they've just forgotten about it altogether because they don't even have a reason to second guess it. It seems like he's way beyond his years. It seems like
he's 27.
I mean, yeah, honestly. And physically, he's obviously looks like he's older than 18 years old. So I think that he's just passed with flying colors. And once that was gone, he didn't even have to worry about it anymore.
No, he doesn't even, it's not even really a lie he has to keep up. It's just, it is what it is. No one really cares about age after about, you know, the first three votes.
Yeah, exactly.
And anymore, Survivor doesn't even have anybody on there that's that old.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
true. You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of miss that aspect of it. I think, you know, I'd like to see Survivor go back to, you know, get a little more diverse group. Now we're having just super hot, young, fit people.
Well, I mean, Angela's old. What was she, 46?
She's like a whopping 41.
Oldest person.
Yeah,
on the
she's a whopping 46.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's big 40s, you know.
Yeah.
I just turned 40, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, well, happy birthday. Congrats on the big 40.
You know, my wife had a surprise party for me, and I walk into the surprise party, and there's Brett and Sunday at my surprise party. What?
That's amazing.
Oh, it was fun. We had a blast. It was just like, I think it was just like last weekend or something. So,
wow.
How'd they surprise you? Was it at your house?
No, it was at this like golf course, and she said we were meeting some friends for dinner.
Good one.
Walked in, it was like, but Brett and Sunday were there. So that was a big surprise.
So you were excited to see Sunday, awesome. And you asked, what's Brett doing here?
I was like, did we kick him out?
My God. I agree with you, though. And I think the biggest problem right now that why we might not see this again is because of Joe DeCampo. And I think Joe gets one of the worst raps of an old Survivor player ever. If you watch the pre-merge of Joe in Ko Rong, he is like such an active part of all of that. His like blowing up of Pete where he's like, are you lying to me? And Pete's like, what? And he's like, you're lying to me. And he just walks away. Like, that is awesome. Like, that's fantastic. It was once they hit the merge that he was like, I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore. And it really started to wear him down. And he was like, I'll just latch on to Aubrey because she'll just take me to the end. I don't care. But I think that kind of hurts it. But I mean, what's more fun than watching like Bob Crowley jump around on like and like build like those huts that he was doing? And like it's fun to watch that. And I agree with you. They should start throwing in, you know, another 60-year-old or 65-year-old or maybe they worry about the health. Because I mean, when Paul was out there, they you know, they had the issue too.
Well, you know, I think Karong, and I don't have any basis for this other than just my hunch. I think Karong scared Survivor, you know, there were so many issues. I mean, you had guys almost dying out there, and it was really, really a rough season. I heard it was rough on not only on the cast, but the behind the scenes people, cameramen, the crew. And it seems to me after that, they found Fiji and we're like, well, why don't we just chill here for a minute and not have people go to ICU or be medically evacuated?
Everyone just relax.
So maybe, I don't know, Karong might have been so horrible that it kind of scared them into this. But I'd like to see more players get brought back, and I'd like to see a different venue moving forward. That was part of the best every season going, where's it going to be? You know, challenges are is the terrain going to provide, you know? So I wish they'd go back to that, but
it seems like they've latched onto the theme over anything. It's like, it's a beach, be happy. They're on a beach. That's why I think they
hot young point. People in bathing suits. Stop complaining.
What more could you want?
Exactly.
We're not even putting old people out there.
Pretty soon they're going to be handing out roses on the,
exactly.
I accept this rose, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's it. Survivor the Bachelor.
I want Russell Hantz back on the season because I want him giving out roses to somebody. So let's do it.
This is my rose.
Well, I'll jump to number four. Speaking of the rose, you know, what a segue. I have Kellen. You know, I think that Kellen, she wins immunity last week, and I don't think anybody's scared of her. I don't think anybody sits there and says, wow, Kellen's going to win so many immunities. Like, oh my God, she won the first one. She's going to win the next one and the one after that. I don't think anybody cares. So I think that everybody feels very safe with Kellen. And I think that Kellen is in a great position on this female group. they are like, she's like the leader of them, but I don't think anybody's looking at her as a leader because somebody like Dom exists and Wendell exists. And so I think that she is in like a fantastic position, and I don't see her going until maybe like 5 or 6. And I believe that out of everybody left in the game, she's probably like my favorite to at least sit in the final three. I don't know if she'll win, and I think there's other people who have a better chance to win the game than her. But I would say right now, out of these 12 people that are left in the game, Kellen is like my favorite to at least make final three.
That's fair. I kind of agree with your assessment. I mean, I have her a little further down, but and that's because I think she's more of a threat, you know.
So yeah,
I ranking her a little higher, but I do agree with you. She's got a good chance to make it all the way.
Well, and you say like she's a little bit more of a threat. I don't think people realize she's a threat. I think that in the pre-merge, I think Bradley took a lot of the heat off of her. Now Bradley's gone. It doesn't seem like it fazed her at all. And now I think that just the other big personalities are taking the heat off her. She has the extra vote that she can still play at any point to swing the numbers in her favor. I don't think she's going to have to use that for a while, but she could do that at some point to be like, you know what? I want Dominic to go home. I don't want Chelsea, Libby, or Angela to go home, or Desiree. I want it to be Dominic. So I think that she's in a good position here and is set for a good while.
Yeah.
So whoever wants to – I can do 5 or we can jump to 5. Chris, you haven't gone first yet. You want to jump to 5?
5, I've got Dominic, and it's for all the reasons we've talked about. He's just got too much power right now. With he and Wendell both, they have – he doesn't know it, but they both have idols. So there's going to be – he's just easier to go after someone else at this point. And you just make the merge. You're wanting to make it a little bit further and beyond that jury. So I don't think anybody's going to take their shot at Dom right now, especially after the Chris vote. And they kind of, everybody let's ease back and find an easy one. Mm-hmm. I think that's the mindset when you have a big vote, like this Chris Dominic war, everybody kind of goes, takes a breath and says, where's an easy target? Let's just have one easy one, you know? So that's why I've got him at 5.
Okay. Yeah.
I do think people trust him. I do really think people trust Dominic. It's a fine edge. It's going to go against him because they don't want him in the finals. But I do think he has built some good relationships, real relationships.
Yeah, I absolutely think so, too. And I think it's funny. I think on Instagram, I saw that Dom and Chris are actually having a watch party together this week, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
Are they really?
I think they are. I think I saw that on Instagram. I think that's really funny. So I'll say my number 5, I have Desiree. And I don't know anything about Desiree, but we're starting to get to know her better. And really, in the preview for this week, they're going back to an old school eating challenge, which I am so excited for. I love the eating.
Yes, we haven't even talked about that.
I was so hoping for one of those on our season. Yeah.
We haven't had one in a while.
A long time, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was the last one they did?
I'm sure somebody in the live chat is blowing it up.
Yeah, yeah. Someone tell us.
Yeah, somebody will know.
I don't know.
So somebody will know. I'm sure we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I'm so excited for this eating challenge. These are so much fun to me. I mean, really, this is what made like the legend of Boston Rob even better back in Marquesas, when it was like, not only was he like the guy that everybody wanted out of the game, even though he had his fans, but he was the villain. And then he couldn't eat that stupid fish that smelt so bad. And he was like vomiting, and everybody else had no problem. And he was just puking like crazy. It's just amazing. It was so much fun to watch. So I think like an eating challenge should be in every single season. It's one of the ones you look forward to, because you're like, would I be able to do that?
Well, what about remember when in like Africa, they brought out like the tribe guy and shot the cow right there in the neck.
Oh yeah, that's like traumatic.
Yeah,
and they drank the warm blood and the milk mixed in it.
Yeah,
and
then Linda had to do the tiebreaker where she actually had to drink the blood without the milk in it. Right. That was the tiebreaker.
Yeah, they just she had it all over her face.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Denise in China eating like basically a live chicken, pretty much, or like that chicken fetus thing, and then James is like screaming at her because she can't eat it.
Yeah it's that good. Was when James was supposed to throw the challenge and he couldn't even throw the challenge. That's what makes this fun, though. And I think especially in the individual portion of the game, it's fun because it's not just standing on something, but it's something anyone can win. And I like that. Like, it's not just, oh, you know, they're holding a pole above their head, or, you know, you're holding a water above your head or whatever it is. You're actually like, you're actually doing something, but it's still very fair to everybody out there. Just eat it. Like, that's all you have to do. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm so excited. I don't know who's going to end up winning, but I know that, like, in the preview, Chelsea's, like, gagging. She's done. So she doesn't win.
Terrible. This could have been her time to shine.
Right? So maybe Kellen wins this one, too, because she secretly loves all this food, and she ends up winning the first two immunity challenges, and then they're like, wait a second, this girl can eat and she can balance? We got to get her out of here.
She's so excited. Like, she can eat.
She can eat, exactly. So, but like Desiree coming into this, like, she's not going to be viewed as any more of a threat, because if she goes out and she wins this challenge, then it's like, okay, so what? If she doesn't win the challenge, I don't think it's a problem. And I do think that there's still this Navidi Strong thing going on, yeah, where I think that, like, the Libbies, the Jennas, those people are in a little bit more danger than somebody like Desiree. Desiree has connections with a lot of people out there. She has a relationship with Chelsea, with Kellen, with Michael. You know, they were on the same tribe. They burned the flag together. So I think that Desiree is in a pretty good spot, at least moving forward. And we've started to see more of her than the other girls. So maybe that's like, hey, she's going to be in like the final five or six, like, get used to this face. Kind of like what they did with Ashley last year.
Yeah.
Alexa, you're the last one left with five.
All right. So for number five, I have Donathan. I think this is kind of an edit thing. I think he has some staying power, but like you guys had mentioned earlier, he went to Dominic during that whole, which kind of sparked this whole vote change. And they did, again, this is from Chris's exit interview, so take it with however many grains of salt you'd like. That whole Chris going to the watering well with everybody except for Dominic and Wendell, from what Chris said, he invited only Dez and Angela, and then everyone just followed. So again, maybe that's the case, maybe that's not. But I think they wanted Donathan to, the editors wanted us to see that Donathan was very involved in this vote, which leads me to believe that we're going to be seeing more of him, like, himself out there strategizing, because we've seen more of a social side of him. I think we're going to start seeing a more strategic side of him.
Yeah, I think so too. I have Donathan at six. And I do think Donathan is somebody who might – his edit is weird, because they almost want to edit him as he's just the underdog who you root for. They don't really want – it doesn't seem like they want to give him too much credit for anything.
Right.
Except like – so it's a strange edit, because they want you to think he's so inept that, like, when he does something great, you're like, oh my God, I love this kid. But at the same time, I think that if you just edited him like normal, I think that you would still get that feeling. Him going up to Dominic was very telling of how he's playing this game. He is building real relationships. He played Chris, and he's not really getting any credit for playing Chris. Him and Chris talking about, you know, their lives and their mothers and all of that, and I'm sure that was very real, but that let Chris really feel like he could let his guard down around Donathan. And Donathan never planned on working with Chris. He ran right over to number one enemy and ends up saying, yo, let's get rid of him. So I think that, like, Donathan isn't getting as much credit as he deserves for the strategic aspect of the game. And instead is kind of just being looked at as like, oh, look how good he's doing. Like, look at that. And I think it's kind of, you know, it's a shame for him, because I do think that he's done a lot more than we've probably seen strategically.
Maybe so. But boy, his edit is, it just making him into the kind of the little fool that runs around and, you know,
goes, yeah, like cute little Donathan.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, hey, he's a good guy, and he's gonna stay around for a while, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the edit can crush you, can crush your soul.
As we've learned this season, yeah. You know?
Chris, that the way you said that, it looked like personal experience came out a little bit there. You're like, oh, wow.
I actually felt good. I was like, about my edit, I thought for sure I was going to come out there looking like a nut. Like, I was like, oh God, they're going to show all these, you know, because I made fun of everybody like all the time. I mean, I was just taking shots at everybody.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh man, I'm gonna be such an ass, man. So I was like, I was happy with mine.
It seems like right now what's going on is instead of taking the shots in the game, instead of seeing it in the game, we're seeing it in the Gordon Holmes exit interviews, where Bradley called Donathan awful, like just straight up awful, and then like went on to explain it. And then this week, Chris comes out and calls Bradley a dick, and Gordon doesn't even ask doesn't even ask Chris to explain that one further. He just like let that one go and was probably like, all right, yeah, sure. Like, it's just funny how like I don't remember your cast doing it. I don't think the last cast did it. Everybody's like normally like very
your
like
cast loves each other, I feel like.
Yeah, which you know too much.
Most of us. Yeah, most of us.
You know,
I think there are some that are like, you know. Mm-hmm. No, won't name any names, but
oh no. yeah, I was gonna say when I met like all you guys and Dave, I could tell you guys just couldn't stand him. I could tell, you know. But
Dave, I've had to my house. Like, I love Dave. I'm like, and my kids are like, when Dave first came to my house, I was like, hey, you know, Dave from Survivor's coming to my house, and my youngest son goes, but he stabbed you in the back.
Why would you speak to him ever again?
We're gonna let that go. We're gonna let it go. It's all right. And he was like, and then I was like, and Zeke's coming too. Well, he stabbed you in the back.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing? Why are you letting him do it? That's when the kids were like, we're not eating your dinner tonight because something's up here. Like, something, you're doing something here.
Yeah, it was funny.
Oh man, So yeah, you guys all get along. It seems like there's definitely some resentment holding over from this season's cast, though. It seems like there's some real resentment. I'd like to see moving forward if there's any that kind of keeps brewing here for these for this final 12. Interesting. Where are we at here? Do we all do five?
I did six. You did six?
Yeah. So anybody wants to hop in?
Go ahead, Chris.
I've got Desiree at six, and for a lot of the same reasons. I just think that we don't know a lot about her, but she seems to be just kind of fitting in the groove there. I don't know how or why she would be voted off this week. It would be very strange for her to be, unless she just blew up and doesn't seem like that's her style either yet. So I've got her kind of just in the middle of the mush because I don't think she's going home.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that out of like all the women who are left in the game who have been under-edited, Desiree is the one who like blooms here because she seems like her pregame stuff, it was great. And it seems like it's finally starting to come out a little bit here. And we're starting to like really get character out of
Desiree. Yeah, I like her. I like her kind of at, she's got, I think she's got a little attitude to her, you know, it just hasn't come out yet, but I like her, but I don't think there's any way. I think she's playing a decent game too. I think she's, you know, maneuvering around pretty well, so I don't think she's going home.
Mm-hmm. Alexa, who do you got at six?
I go Kellen at number six. I've been doing this. Well, actually, I did this with Chris last week, and it didn't really work out for me. But I don't know with Kellen. I think Phil, like your pitch about her, I think you're right. I feel like nobody's intimidated by her, and she could win three immunity challenges, and people will still kind of like be like, "Ah, oh, she's just a puzzle person. Like it's fine," and just move on. But she's proven that she's really good at puzzles, which are a huge part of individual immunity challenges. But on top of that, she ended up voting for Chris. So she very well could have double crossed Des and Angela on that Libby vote. I don't really know how that netted out. So hopefully we kind of go into that more this week. My only concern for her is that she doesn't really have a best friend. She lost her best friend two votes ago. And I feel like now we're in a part of the game where you do kind of need someone who you're super tight with. And I guess that could be Des, but other than my assumptions, I don't really know how close they are. I think Kellen's in a good place, especially for this week. And I'm just curious to see like where she goes from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's interesting because for really everybody on this season, we don't know who anybody's closest ally is right now, except for Sebastian and Jenna and Wendell and Dominic. Other than that, we don't really know who anybody – we don't know who's, like, one and two in any pairing. You know, you could tell with, like, the Brett and Sunday thing as they got further in the game. It was like the two of them were doing everything together. They played on every tribe together. They were doing everything together. And they weren't even that highly edited of characters, but you knew that they were tight. And I think, like, last season, you had Ashley and Devin. You knew that the two of them were, like, going to be looking out for each other the entire time. Ryan and Chrissy, you knew would be looking out for each other the entire time. We don't really know that about too many people on this season. And even, like, the one that we do, the Sebastian and Jenna, it's like, well, what are they going to do anyway?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah.
Just why don't we let them go tan?
Yeah.
smell each other's hair and stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
That's a weird one.
So – I'll say my number seven, I have Laurel. I think that Laurel's in a good spot. I don't put her super high just because Is Laurel necessarily getting like a winner's edit? I don't know. But because of how good she's been playing up to this point, if she doesn't win, how does she end up going home? Is it like a Jess thing? Is it like a, you know, where that happens, somebody playing Idol where she goes home? Like, do they actually think she's the safe vote? Do they maybe think Parvati 2.0 does have an Idol? Like, I don't know. But I feel like Laurel is playing such a good social game right now that they're not going to let her get to the final because I think that she could beat a lot of people. But I don't know if they're looking at her as a threat right now or somebody that they can just be like, okay, good, you're on our number. Because who have we really – we've seen her bond with everybody, but we haven't heard her say, this is my guy, this is my girl, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So. I've got Kellen for a lot of the same – she's a little higher than everyone else just because maybe that something crazy happens. But I do think she's playing a good game. She is – under the radar, and I do think for some reason I think she's going to be one of those that wins a couple of immunity challenges, and I do agree with you guys. I think everybody's going to go, so what, you know? Yeah. So I like her in the game. I think she could be one and sitting in the final three. Yeah. I think it would take something really screwy to happen to her this week for her to get voted out.
Yeah, I'm like rooting for Kellen. Out of the Navidi people, Kellen's the one. Kellen's like the one, aside from Dom and Wendell, that I'm like, you know what? Like, I'd like to see her pull this off because she's another one. She went to a lot of tribal councils and she had to keep a lot of stuff under control. She was never the underdog that she was playing up in the preseason, and that even like when she won immunity, it's like, oh look, Kellen, nobody expected this to happen. But even though she's been in the power position the entire game, I'm still kind of looking at her as like she's done a lot to get to the position she's in. She's had to build a lot of really tight relationships. She's gone to Ghost Island twice. She actually got something once. So, you know, what did you think, Chris? What did you think? Because we talked to a couple people about this. What did you think about her not playing the game the first time she went out?
Yeah, I would play every time. I don't know. If you're going to Ghost Island, people are going to assume you're playing and maybe getting advantages. So I would take my shot every time I was out there. I would, you know. Now
that's how most people seem to be skewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her now at the time that she did that, I think her vote might have actually mattered, or it seemed like it was going to matter. So she did kind of take one for the team, so to speak. But I can't remember the exact how it actually turned out. But at the time when she's standing there, I can almost see like, hey, look, if I lose my vote, we might actually lose control of our tribe.
And I think that's what happened. It was 5-4, and that was the boot where they got rid of. Was it Brendan?
I think it was Brendan. Yeah, it was the Brendan.
Yeah, she doesn't vote. So, it's 4-4.
Yeah, so I mean, you can't really blame her. That she probably made the smart move, but I would have just went for it anyways and hope I won. So.
Yeah, because I don't think Kellen, especially like if you're Kellen, you're not seeing yourself as maybe the number one target. So maybe that's even another reason why it's like, I'll just play it. And if I lose, so what if Bradley goes home? Or so what if, you know, Chelsea or Desiree go home? I don't care.
Not going to be me.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Alexa, who's your seven?
My seven is Laurel also. I agree with you. I think she's playing so well, but this kind of goes back to my whole best friend argument. And I have like no reason to believe that like having a one and two duo is like what is necessary to get to the end. But just because I don't really know who's close with anybody, I don't really know if these four Navidi girls get in a circle and say, let's get rid of Laurel. I can't imagine anyone except for maybe Donathan who would pipe up and say, no, I don't want Laurel to go, you know? I think everyone likes her, but I don't know if anybody's close enough with her to defend her when she's not around or to keep her safe as like a yin to their yang. She's really good at challenges. Like she hasn't, I mean, there's only been one individual immunity challenge. She's a challenge beast. And I think people would be very scared of that if she won one individual immunity. I don't know. And she does get some attention in this preview. She hears about Wendell's idol and she kind of talks about how Dom and Wendell are this power couple and no one else has talked about that. And that very easily could be the preview doing preview things. But I feel like I need to give some credit to that. I mean, kind of going up against those two right now is a little intimidating and she doesn't have an idol or apparently any best friends to back her up. So that's an uphill battle for her.
I think that I'm hoping that she's smart enough to not bring it up yet. To like let things.
I think so too. I think she is smart enough.
I think she is smart enough. My number eight, you guys have both talked about. I have Sebastian. I have him way lower than both of you. Both had him at three. The reason I have him lower is because he has muscles. And like that might be like stupid, but like he's sitting there with Jenna, with like he's obviously really tight with Jenna, who's really tight with Libby. Like we are kind of seeing like them kind of branching off and everything. But I don't think they're going to get rid of him this week. I think the four people I have below are one of those four is going to go home. But I just put him there because, like, I was looking at my ranking and I was like, every single guy that has muscles I have in, like, the top four or five. I got to put Sebastian a little bit lower because out of all those guys, the one most likely to go home this week is Sebastian. Everybody else has an idol or some sort of protection. Sebastian can be one of those guys where it's like, okay, are we scared that Libby has an idol? Are we scared that Jenna has an idol? There's no way Sebastian has an idol. I don't think that happens yet, but I think that it's something that could happen. And there's going to be a point where Sebastian gets voted out of this game, and it's going to be really weird because I have a hard time picturing him getting his torch snuffed.
I don't know how he makes a candy reference while it goes down, but it's going to happen.
It's going to.
Yeah. So. Well, I have eight. We're on eight, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I have Wendell at eight, and obviously I have him further down than you guys, but the only reason I do is I actually wanted to put him like even further down just to take a, it's kind of like a, taking a wild card shot here.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
The preview has me like a little like, okay, so they preview him telling Laurel and she's like, oh, there's too much power. And then it shows Wendell like kind of raising hell about, it sounds like about Michael, about mm-hmm. going after Michael. Well, what if, you know, Michael's a smart player, and if somehow he gets word that that they can maybe flip it on Wendell, or he just plays his idol and has enough sense to go to maybe Sebastian and Jenna and a few of them and get enough votes to say, hey, look, they're all going to vote for me. I'll play my idol, and we write Wendell down, and that knocks out a power player.
Like, yeah.
This is one of those moments where you can knock a Wendell out if Laurel has the, you know, maybe feeds that information to some other folks and it gets around to Michael, or if Michael just says, screw it, I'm going to play my idol, and has enough to maybe throw a few votes his way. So that's why I put him up there, just a little wild card. Maybe maybe there'll be some action thrown his way.
I think the biggest problem for that to happen, at least, would be that Wendell isn't Chris. So I think if Michael plays his idol, Wendell's going to be like, well, I'm playing mine, because, you know, if it's clear that there's a feud going on, I think he's gonna be like, well, I better play my idol, because my, like, the fact that Chris didn't play his idol last week, like, really stresses just like what the hell was going on out there. Like,
but it's Ghost Island. Maybe the ghost is pulling him down. Right? So
JT was sitting on his
JT.
Back.
JT.
My God, poor JT. Like, one of the most dominating wins of all time, and now he's just known as like an idiot in the Survivor world, which is crazy. He had literally the most dominating win of all time.
Yep.
Insane. Alexa, who do you have at number eight?
Number eight, where am I? Okay, so I go Jenna at number eight. I think out of my, you know, my bottom is people who I definitely think are going to go home. And it's also my group of people who are just severely unedited. So I do have reasonings for like these bottom five people. The thing with Jenna is she's tight with Sebastian. She's tight with someone who's in the in crowd. And no one is fearful of her. In fact, when Donathan was talking to Dominic saying, oh, we're actually going to vote out Chris, Dominic, for whatever, going to go talk to Jenna and Libby about it. And Donathan put a full stop on that. He was like, don't go talk to them, which I don't know why he said that. That very well could have just been a like, keep it quiet, but, or because Libby is just a terrifying strategic mastermind that no one should be talking to. But I don't know. I think Jenna's very safe. I think no one is intimidated by her. She's not the best at anything, and I think that does put her in a good position. I want to see a lot from her. She was like a huge preseason favorite of mine, and we got like a super emotional episode with her way back when Stephanie went home, and then we've never seen her again. So I think Jenna's safe. I really just don't know why anyone would vote her out.
I think what makes Jenna the safest, I have her lower than you, but I think what makes her the safest is her connection to Sebastian. Yeah. Because I think that Sebastian will be like, hey, guys, let's not vote out Jenna this time. And I think people like Sebastian enough where they'll be like, you know, let's appease him. Let's let it happen. Why get rid of her? Like, there's no reason to. Yeah. There's other people we'd rather get rid of. I have her lower than that. I actually have Chelsea as my number 9. Well, my reasoning with Chelsea is like, we haven't seen anything from her. I mean, she's incredibly invisible. We haven't seen much, but she is tight with the Navidi girls. And she might be an easy vote, but who is she an easy vote for? She's not an easy vote for Dominic. I think Dominic thinks that he can work with her. He got to work with her to vote out Bradley. And from what we've read in all the exit press, one of Chelsea's ideas. It was her and Dominic who came up with the idea, let's throw this challenge so we can get rid of Bradley. That's what we've been reading. So I think that she's in a good spot. I think that she's just going to get idled out at some point or get some random stray bullet that doesn't allow for like a complete storyline. Maybe even it's a double boot episode like we saw with Sunday and Will, where they go back to back in the same episode and we saw like nothing of either of them the entire season. For her to go this week, a lot would have to go wrong for her. Like, she'd have to piss off a lot of people, which I don't think she's going to do, because I don't think anybody's taking her so seriously to feel the need to be like, let's get rid of her because we just can't take her anymore.
I would just love to know how Chelsea could piss someone off. She seems to be perfectly kind.
Exactly. She just likes coffee and likes sitting in that chair. That's all she wants to do.
She does like coffee.
I have her at 9 also. Really? Yeah. So for
yeah,
the
there we all go.
You know, we just really, I don't know why she would, I don't know why she would actually go home other than, like you said, a stray bullet. That's a good way to put it. Like, just a random freak accident, idle plays and no one else to vote for kind of deal. So that's why I've got her at 9. And you know, she seems to have some potential, though. It seems like maybe she would like maybe be one of these late run. It wouldn't surprise me. She seems to have some fire and some strategy in her, and it does seem like she's athletic more than the edit shows. Mm-hmm. So she could be one of these late run where she starts picking up the pace. But right now, she's, you know, just kind of there.
And I think a lot of people forget, like, we've seen characters like Chelsea make Final Three before. Natalie Tenorelli made the Final Three. She was barely in that season. I mean, you've seen this happen before. You might just not be getting enough from her. Maybe her confessionals aren't that good. So it's like, you know what? Like, we're not going to put much into her, and she's never the leader of an alliance. She's not trying to lead any votes. So we're just going to, you know, take a step back and, you know, not really give her too much of anything. I mean, I think Natalie had 8 or 9 total confessionals by the time she hit that finale. I think she got more in the finale, but it's crazy how little she had going into the finale. And she's sitting there at Final Three, you know, with Philip and with Boston Rob. I mean, of course she's not going to get that much screen time.
Right.
You know, it just makes sense. So I think that Chelsea could end up, maybe Chelsea's the one who sits in the Final Three with a Wendell and a Dominic. And it's like, well, we didn't give her much time because Wendell and Dominic ran this game and Chelsea was kind of like their pawn, you know? So that's my only thing with Chelsea, and that I'm not too scared for her this week. This is the first week I'm actually like not scared for Chelsea. I normally put her pretty low just because we saw so little of her. But now that we've hit this merge, I agree with you, Chris. I think she could easily go on some sort of run here, not to win the game, but to just keep on being like, how's that girl still in? How's that girl still in? How's that girl still in?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I got Jenna at 10. Alexa, you talked about Jenna. I think that I have Jenna here, but I have Angela and Libby below her, because with Jenna, like, she has Sebastian. Angela and Libby don't have that day one person. And if the Navidi try to team up, I don't think they're going to be able to get rid of Jenna because of the Sebastian thing. The only way that they would get rid of Jenna is if, let's say, Libby wins immunity and they're like, okay, let's get rid of Jenna here this week. And it's an easy vote and she's not going to have an idol. We know she doesn't have an idol. So what if we break Sebastian's heart? We're going to get rid of him in the next 3 weeks anyway. It doesn't matter.
I have Jenna at 10 also. It sounds like we have the same
idea for this bottom four here.
Jenna, same thing. I mean, she has literally not been part of the show. It would take something like Libby winning. I agree. If Libby wins immunity, that would be the only thing where she would definitely probably be on, at least her name would be thrown on the chopping block. And she doesn't seem to, based on the edit, to have the skills to go and stir up anything and take the target off her back. But that's the only way she would go home, I think, is if Libby or somebody else, like I said, unless my Michael story comes true and somehow he plays an idol and sends a big name home. But
yeah,
Jenna's probably safe, but she's definitely could be, her name's going to get thrown around in the next couple.
Yeah, I agree with that. Alexa, who's your 10?
10, I go with Dez. I was pretty unsure of where to put her. I agree with both your assessments, and I've been saying this for the past few weeks. I so badly want to like Dez. I think what we've seen of her, like, she is funny. She's had some funny things to say, but for whatever reason, they only want me to see, like, 20% of her personality. But the reason I have her low is because she did vote for Libby, and that very well could have been a part of this master plan, but if we're going to do hi, Adam.
Yeah, Adam just said Daddy Chris. Yes.
Yes.
Real Adam in our live chat saying Daddy Chris in all caps. Yes. It's very
exciting. That's the first time that like wasn't from like an internet troll, that was from
I know.
Adam.
I'm like trying to like keep my composure as Alexa's giving very sound reasoning here.
And yeah,
I'm,
that was not
Adam like poking me in the side of the head.
That's pretty funny.
What was I saying? Oh no, I need to finish the sentence and then we'll go to the whole Daddy Chris thing, which is, you know, really cool. so if we're gonna say Angela made a mistake by voting for Libby, we also have to hold Dez to that same standard. I can't imagine that the two of them voted the exact same way and they were the only two people on the island who did that, but did it for conflicting reasons. So if maybe they both did that in case Chris played an idol, or they both did that because they were left in the dark. So I put them both in my bottom three.
The only reason I don't agree is because we've seen Dez vote so many times with Kellen. We haven't seen Angela really do it. We saw it obviously at the James boot, but I feel
Angela's only had one opportunity.
Yeah, so. But I feel like Dez and Kellen might be like really tight. And
too many gingers on one podcast.
Oh my god. Of course. Of course.
Well, I stick out like a sore thumb here.
Right, exactly. It's about time we don't, right? So I look at this Dez thing though as like, yeah, she votes for Chris, but what if they were just scared that like Chris was going to vote for – maybe – here's what I think. What if they thought that Chris was actually going to vote for Dom? So then, you know, let's say Chris plays an idol and then it's Dom versus Dez. And one of that – or Dom versus Libby. Something happens where somehow Dom gets a vote and Libby only has one vote, or somebody plays an idol and somebody – you know, whatever ends up happening. Maybe they were worried that one stray vote could actually send somebody home if Chris played an idol and Dom played an idol. So they wanted to ensure that it was Libby who went home. In that situation.
I mean, that makes sense.
And for Angela, they might not have told her and they would have been like, Libby's going home, Libby's going home. But I almost feel like with Dez, it would have been like, Dez, by the way, we need you to vote this way, but it's not Libby who's going home.
Yeah. That's a fair assessment. I think that you might have hit it right on the head on that, you know.
I hope so.
I mean, that would make sense. It's just odd to me that literally everybody except the two of them voted for Chris. And yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, I really hope that we get a little more light on it this week.
I'm sure we'll get something in the exit press. I doubt we're going to get anything on the show, unfortunately.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I'll kill mine real quick. I'll be the first one to do that. I got Angela at 11, Libby at 12. Angela, I just feel like voting on the wrong side, closest ally was probably Chris. She doesn't seem like she's fitting in with anybody. She could easily be the Navidi to go. The reason I put Libby below her is because it seems like everybody's been gunning for Libby anyway. And like Libby supposedly is this huge threat and she's on the wrong side of the numbers. Her closest ally is Jenna, but Jenna's bodyguard is Sebastian and Sebastian's only going to guard Jenna. He's not going to guard Libby too. So if Libby gets some stuff thrown in her direction, I think Libby just goes home. I don't see any situation where they don't just boot Libby there. I really think it's Libby's week this week. I think that the fact that they've only really shown people eating in this preview and they've shown like a bunch of big players like yelling about each other that we don't really know why that's happening makes me think this is going to be like one of those, okay, that was kind of a boring boot. Libby goes home, you know, almost like not that it was a boring boot because of how interesting the character was, but like when Taylor goes home in your season, it's like you knew Taylor was going home that week. There was like no way it wasn't going to be Taylor that week. And I feel like that's kind of what we've gotten to with Libby. It's been hinted at for 3 weeks now that Libby should be going home. It was before Bradley. It was the Bradley week. It was last week. And like, finally, I think this is when it comes to a head and Libby actually finally does go home.
I have it the same way. Very similar reasons. Angela, she's no longer has this Chris thing and she's just super paranoid, not fitting in with anybody. Kind of it seems lost to me. And then Libby, for all the reasons, I mean, she is, everybody says she's this huge threat because she's really cute, seemingly smart. You know, if the only way that she, and it just seems like an easy vote here, like just get her out and let's not worry about her anymore. Unless something crazy happens. But I agree with you that it all, the previews always trick you, but every once in a while they're true. So maybe they're, I hope there's a big giant blow up and Libby survives. I hope I'm wrong, but I think she's just too easy. I think she's history.
I don't think it happens. Like, I mean, you see it all the time where there's a few times where it happened. You know, if you go back to like Micronesia and hey, this is Ghost Island, there's Micronesia things out there. So maybe it could happen here, but it seems like when there's a huge blow up, the next one is like, okay, goodbye. Like, we knew that was coming. You know, because
everybody wants to calm down. Everybody says, let me find something easy because you're stressed out out there and you're like, we just went through this crazy war. Let's just find an easy vote. And and her, even her allies, like Jenna or whoever she thinks is her ally, will go, it's not me. So
don't care.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Let her out.
No, I hear you. I go
Angela. Or no, I go Libby and then Angela. I mean, to me, they're pretty. It's vice versa with them. But I don't know. The thing for Libby, it's just so odd that they're making her out to be this huge strategic threat. Not because I don't think she is, but just because I haven't been shown that she is. And so I think I'm just waiting for her to have this big, scary strategic moment, and then they get rid of her. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I'm still sitting on her. And with Angela, I mean, she lost her only ally. She voted incorrectly. No one seems to be getting along with her. I feel really bad for her. I mean, I do. Like, if I was watching, like, I'm sure she's not loving the content that she's getting. I think it really kind of sucks for her, but I think she's in a really tough position.
Yeah, it's rough for her. I don't know what we're supposed to think about her at all. It's like she's been going to trials and just voting the wrong way, and I don't know what I'm supposed to think about her.
Yeah, and she seems to have like a good story, like military and all this kind of, but it's just not coming.
She's got a great
it's just
story.
Not coming through.
Yeah,
it's just not coming through. You know?
Yeah, at all.
And that just tells you she just has to be history here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, she's not going to be somebody who makes it. If she made it to the end, they would have made her more of a sympathetic character than they've made her. Because it's not hard to make her a sympathetic character. You know, she's, you know, they've done it with Kellen. And Kellen was like, I got divorced. I went to grad school. I finally started living for myself. You could have done that with Angela. You know, her kids grew up. She gets divorced from her husband, no longer in the military. And like now she's trying to find herself. Could have done that. And it doesn't seem like we've gotten nearly as much of that as they could have.
No.
Yeah, I feel like they're almost making us not want to like her.
Yeah,
it's odd. It's very odd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I think she's just kind of lost it out there too. You know, she just seems ultra paranoid and really just not fitting in, which it happens. It's just, can you bounce back from it? There's times out there on the island where you just go, wow, I've never experienced this. I'm not fitting in with anybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but if you let it get the best of you, you turn into Angela, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I've never done it, but I can imagine once that hits you, you're like, oh God, this is rough.
When we got evacuated and we were in this little like room, everybody was like, seemed like they were jiving together. And I just felt like, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get voted out. Like, I was like, I can't even, it was so weird. It was like, I can't even speak to anybody. And I don't know if I was just super tired and freaked out, but. But I remember being like, oh my God, I've never experienced this in my life where I literally don't fit in at all, with anybody. Yeah. So like, but you know, you got to bounce back from it, but she seems to not be bouncing back from that feeling. So
yeah, it's because you know what it was. It was It's because you were a millennial at heart, Chris. That's really what it is. That was the problem.
Yeah. That'll do it. 40,
but you're 23 in everybody else's eyes. So that kills the power rankings. And now for the most fun part of the night, where we get to explain this thing to Chris. Chris, it seems like you've watched this, though, previously. It seems like you've been paying attention here. So you know about the Eliminator game then.
No, I don't know. I watch, I bounce around. I watch enough to, you know, keep it going, but I am not like in tune with everything.
Well, this is
we were hoping we would not have to explain the rules.
It's our favorite part every week, because we can always blame Adam for this, because Adam had done this in the past, but he had done it by himself. So he had done it like we had done like a Kickstarter, and everybody who donated to us like a certain amount, we let them do the Eliminator game against us. And Adam did it himself. So when you do it yourself, you can build a strategy. When you do it with, you know, eight other people like the Survivor team is doing right now, the strategy is just don't be the one who screws it up. So you're kind of left with like the worst thing you can have left.
It's an interesting crew you have left.
So what it is the way this works is it's an NFL Survivor pool, right? You know, you pick the Raiders one week, you can't pick the Raiders ever again. If they lose, you're out, whatever. The problem with the Survivor one is obviously people get voted out, you know? Right. So the pool gets even smaller each week. So like who was it? It was 2 weeks ago. It was Brett. Brett picks Wendell because he goes, I don't want to be the one who messes it up. Now, he probably thought Wendell was going on to go way deeper in the game. I think that at the time he ended up having Wendell, like, I think Wendell was his number three. So he had Wendell at number three in his power rankings, but used Wendell for his for that because he was like, well, I don't want to be the one who messes it up for all the other survivors. So that kind of puts you guys in a worse spot here where the people you have to choose from, you can't pick Wendell.
I have the list right here if you would like.
We just got the word Vaughn picked Desiree. So, Chris, Alexa, read them off. And, Chris, this is who you're picking from.
Okay, Chris, you can pick Michael, Jenna, Dominic, Kellen, Chelsea, or Angela.
And I'm picking them to win the thing?
No, you're picking them not to go home this week.
Oh, not go home. This is easy.
But
oh, famous last words, Chris.
I know what you're saying, because the next week, if I pick Dominic, he's definitely not going home this week. But next week they can't pick him.
Exactly. Yeah. And Brett took Wendell. Like,
you know what? I'm going to do us all a solid. I'm going to go Jenna.
Okay.
Wow.
That'll help out next week if we get past the Jenna.
Exactly. And if we don't get past the Jenna, you're probably going to hear a lot from our next guest, who's going to be very disappointed that you didn't let them play this game. Another little like shot at them, where it's like, man, you couldn't even let me have this one, huh, Chris? Alexa, who are you taking this week?
Oh, I am between Chelsea and Angela. I think I have to go with Chelsea on this.
Yeah, you put Angela as your 13. I was going to say, if you end up picking her, man.
I know, but I have to pick Angela at some point. My list is looking
Have any of your people gone home?
Sketchy.
Only in Bradley, huh? Oh, Chris went home too.
Yep, I got Bradley and Chris.
Yeah, so you got a couple. And Libby might go home this week, and then you'd have three. So you're doing all right.
I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Doing totally fine. All right, so that's all of that. Alexa, who was MVP and LVP for last week?
So MVP was Wendell. This is his second MVP win. He's won it two out of the past 3 weeks. And LVP went to Angela. They were both pretty cut and dry. There were a couple Dominics floating around. The LVP has been kind of weird because people don't know half the cast, so they've just been throwing it at Chelsea like whenever like her name comes up. So, Wendell and Angela. So, Team Joe takes its second hit of the week by taking an LVP.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, though? Joe needed this LVP after losing Chris. He needs to, you know, we need to keep knocking him down here because he hung around for so long. He hung around way too long. So, Chris, do you have anything else you want to say here? Anything else? I mean, that was pretty quick. I mean, you got in and you got out. I mean, some of these people we had Troy Zen on for almost 2 hours. So,
well, you know, I mean,
that's the norm.
The guys like Adam and Brett, they like to drone on and hear themselves speak on and on and on forever and ever and ever. So, I'm a lawyer. We're about to get in, make your point, get out. That's
there you
it.
Go.
No.
You made some good points. I mean, we always just throw people with idols up top, but I like having Donathan high up. I like having Laurel high up. I think they have a lot of shelf life, so I'm excited to see where they go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting going through it like this and thinking, and I liked it. It was, I need to continue to do it each week. That's pretty fun.
It is. It's an interesting way to like watch the show too, because you're like, you sit there and you're like, okay, who you're not necessarily saying who's going to win the game. You're just saying who's not going to go home this week. And it really makes right. you think about like how the edit mm-hmm. is throwing you off. Cause I think back in like Ko-Rong, I mean, I put Michelle Fitzgerald at first every time just cause I was trolling the internet, but at the same time, like it was easier. I think me and Will, our numbers were really high because the edit was pretty straightforward. Whereas on this season, like, and even last season, they've gotten us a bunch of times where you're like, oh, there's no way Brendan goes home or Stephanie Johnson goes home, or, and they're going back to back. And you're just like, whoa, where did that come from? Based on what we've seen.
Cause and it's throwing you off. Cause I'm like, I want to believe that Dominic and Wendell, they're clearly getting like a just huge edits. But then I'm like, are they really going to make it? Is everybody going to let them go to the final three? I mean, they're just going to let them walk in and win the show.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
But it seems that way. Wow. That's why I'm like, I don't hope for it this week, but I just have this feeling maybe there'll be a blow up this week.
Mm-hmm.
That'd make it fun.
Or you're just a week early getting here. And, you know, that was the bad luck there. And for our next guest, they're gonna have the big week. You know, they're gonna be coming into the blow up week. So that'd be that. Chris, you got anything to say about that next guest we got coming up here?
John Carroll, you're gonna have some fun with him. Now, let me tell you, your show's probably gonna last 4.5 hours.
Oh, great, we're doing it pretty late at night too.
Because yeah, John's got a lot to say about every single thing on here. I'm sure he'll be massively prepared and have opinions for days. So get ready, but it should be entertaining because he'll have a fun take on every one of these characters.
So there you go, guys. Instead of waiting until Wednesday, we decided to announce it this week because there is a connection between Chris and John Carroll, which I guess John should probably – do you want John to tell, like, the entire story?
He can tell the entire story. We were in a very – Jerry Spence is like the Michael Jordan of trial lawyers, okay? Like, and he has a ranch out in the middle of nowhere in Wyoming. You can, if you're accepted, you can go up there and kind of study under him for 3 weeks living in a barn. Like, wow. It's a really weird thing. It's all lawyers, and John Carroll and I just happen to be there together. So, and experiencing this weird, wild, emotional, experience at the trial lawyers college, but I was a big fan of John Carroll. So I'll let him tell the rest of the story, but it was interesting. Fate would have it that I run into John Carroll of Survivor, mm-hmm. so because that was led to me finally getting on the show.
There you go. So that there you go. There's the connection. I remember I met John in person, and he told us that story, and I was like, he was telling us the story as if like he wasn't giving your name. He was just talking about like a lawyer, and I was like, okay, so it was Chris, because he was like, he was on a recent season. I'm like, so it was Chris? He's like, it was Chris. Like, and then he like started like really like telling the whole story. And I was like, man, like, why didn't you just say it was Chris from the beginning? I don't know what it was, but I thought it was like a really, really, it's a really good story. And I'm sure he'll tell it much longer than you just told it. That's for sure. Right. I mean, I would think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He'll tell you all the details.
There you go. He's the best. He cracked me up that day we met him. I walked up to him and I was just like, hey, John, you're John Carroll, right? And he was like, yeah. And then like from there, it was just like we were best friends. Like we'd known each other for 30 years. So that's him. He's great.
He's the best.
I'm super excited.
Yeah. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. He'll be great.
Yeah. So Alexa, if you want to bring us home, we can get on out.
We can get on out. So we will be live Wednesday at 9 o'clock PM Pacific, 12 AM Eastern time. This Wednesday for the episode 9. Is it episode 9?
We're on? Episode 9, yeah.
Episode 9 recap. It may be an explosion or Libby may just quietly go home. Tune in, find out. In the meantime, tweet at us, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube, listen on iTunes. We're at like 3,350 subscribers on YouTube. So that's been really jumping up. We've been doing really well this season. We hope you guys have been enjoying as much as we have. keep tweeting at us, keep following us, keep telling your friends, and we'll be back Wednesday night.
Thank you, Chris, for coming on. Always fun. Thank you, Chris. Always a great time.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, no problem.